truth I fear. My heart is beating, I can't see clear. How I'm wishing that you were here. You said you follow me anywhere, but your eyes tell me you won't be there. I gotta learn how to love without you. I gotta carry my cross without you. Stuck in a minute little dust about you. Figure it out without you. And I'm done sitting on without you. Fuck, I'm going up without you. I'm gonna tear this city down without you. I'm going body and climb without you.
Your hair like that, body language so fluent, I can read your silhouette. And I know what you're thinking when you bite your lip. I swear that I'm not overthinking. Got your signals everywhere. So let's lose control and rock the boat. You know you want it, you know you want it. Let's break the rules, a little rendezvous. You know you want it, you know you want it, baby. I want a piece of your mind. Let me in now. Don't wanna take up your time. Just have a drink. Let's lose control and rock the boat. You know you want it, you know you want it. Let's break the rules, a little rendezvous. You know you want it. Cause I just wanna know you better. You better, you better. I just wanna get to know you better. You better, you better. I just wanna know you. No need to stress it, I just want your company. And give you all my attention when we dance to Billie Jean. So let's lose control and rock the boat. You know you want it, you know you want it. Let's break the rules, a little rendezvous. You know you want it, you know you want it, baby. I want a piece of your mind. So let me in now. Don't wanna take up your time. Just have a drink, let's lose control and rock the boat. You know you want it, you know you want it. Let's break the rules, a little rendezvous, you know you want it. Cause I just wanna know you better, you better, you better. I just wanna get to know you better, you better, you better. I just wanna know you.
I just wanna know you better. I just wanna get to know you better. I just wanna know you better. You know you want it, baby.
I want a piece of your mind. So let me in now. Don't wanna take up your time. Let's have a drink, let's lose control and rock the boat. You know you want it, you know you want it. Let's break the rules, a little rendezvous, you know you want it. I just wanna know you better, you better, you better.
Oh,
I just wanna get to know you better, you better, you better.
Oh,
cause I just wanna know you better, you better, you better. I just wanna get to know you better, you better, you better. Cause I just wanna know you better.
On the Manhattan Bridge, which is closed, it is open to pedestrian traffic. Some people are walking across, but there's just no way for them to. As I look out, something is. I can't. It looks as though the building is going. Is that the building going down? Is that the second building of the World Trade Center going down?
Yes, that is the second. That is the second tower. That is the second tower.
Down. It's a huge plume of smoke that came out of the middle of the building, and then the building just disappeared in the smoke. It is an incredible sight. People around me are taking a look. I cannot even describe it. It is one of those rare moments where you just can't describe it. It looked as though it was a puff of cloud, almost like a firework explosion of cloud. No noise with it. And then all of a sudden, I just blinked my eyes. I looked back, and I might have heard the people in the background going, oh, my God, and the second building appears to have gone down.
Yes, you're...
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. That clip was of courtesy of Tintin Winds WINS New York from the morning of 9/11 when the second tower collapsed from the World Trade Center attacks on 9/11. As we continue to pay tribute to those who lost their lives on 9/11, I'll be taking your phone calls throughout the day. On 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. I'm here until 7 o'clock today. I'm filling in for two shows, as a matter of fact. I'm filling in for the voicemobile and as well for time travel. I'm here until 7 o'clock. I'll be taking your phone calls and as well as continuing this discussion that we've been having now for a little more than an hour. So the next segment that we want to touch on is a continuation of the NFL, but not in terms of current events for those that are just joining in the show, but rather remembering what the NFL did in terms of stopping all operations and play and taking a week after 9/11 to grieve and allow people to grieve over this massive tragedy that took place in New York, Washington, and Western PA. So one of the things that I could actually remember was at this point, you know, like as I mentioned in the previous hour, that, you know, sports became very, very unimportant. Very unimportant in which that it was now about trying to help people reconnect with their loved ones as much as possible, you know, taking part And the recovery efforts out in Ground Zero and as well as Washington, as well as in Western PA. But in New York in particular, it was about beginning to put the pieces together. But I guess in some ways it applies, but it was more of begin the process of recovery. Because at this point, there was still smoke. Still smoke rising from Ground Zero, especially the morning after 9/11, especially the morning of September 12th, 2001. There was still a lot of questions to be asked and answered. And in regards to sports became so important, especially when we talk about how much and how often we look at sports in regards to being a distraction and a source of entertainment for all of us. But at this point, life became absolutely by far all the more important. And I realized on a personal level that, you know, life is bigger than sports. As passionate about sports as I am, as I've now turned it into a career and a burgeoning career at that, you know, sports became secondary. You know, it was about learning the importance of helping those that aren't fortunate, and being more aware of what was going on in the world around me, as this was no longer the same innocent world that you and I had once known it as. This was a much different world where terrorism was real. Violence was real. You know, all of the real world issues that seemingly a lot of us had been long sheltered from now became very prevalent and very real. Because all you had to do was just turn on the TV. And there it was. And the NFL had a decision to make. And I talked about it briefly in the previous segment. They had a decision to make. Were they going to play that weekend or not? Major League Baseball, that same day, halted all games that same morning of 9/11, I remember the Yankees, they had a game against the Red Sox that was canceled outright. And baseball canceled all games on 9/11 moving forward. But I'll talk about that later in the show in regards to baseball's role, especially on 9/11 and post 9/11. But in this clip that I'm going to play for you just momentarily, the NFL and especially the New York Giants and the New York Jets, they had a role to play. They had a role to play in helping people find some sort of a distraction. Distraction that the entire city and nation needed badly. You know, because this was absolutely something that was weighing down heavily on everyone's minds. You know, like the sadness and the grief that was going on, that was quite apparent. In this clip, this is courtesy of NFL Films. In this very short clip I'm going to play, it's going to give you a glimpse of an idea as to the role in which that the NFL did and played after taking a week to grieve after the events of 9/11. So again, this is courtesy of NFL Films as part of the commemoration of the 15-year anniversary of September 11th. This is from September of 2016. This clip is titled Playing for New York City Timeline, courtesy of NFL Films. Enjoy.
Former NFL linebacker Rob McGovern was working in the Manhattan District Attorney's Office at the time of the attacks. As an Army reservist, McGovern was able to volunteer at Ground Zero on September 12th.
I put on my uniform and I just walked up to the nearest fireman and said, what can I do? And I think he just pointed to a line, one of the debris lines that had formed, and said, get down there and just start moving debris. So that's what I started to do.
McGovern stayed on the job for 5 straight days.
It was such a massive loss of human life, of innocent human life. And at the very least, you thought, I can give one family consolation.
Went down there for a month.
It was very surreal. The worst thing I've ever seen. Like, I think about it now, it's just like, when you're going through it, you're like, this can't be. It's not possible. This cannot be.
Jimmy, part of him died in that. He was part of him died in that trade center.
When practice started again, the Giants still felt the lingering effects of 9/11.
It wasn't the usual noise in practice, very quiet and solemn. We struggled through the experience.
But the team's attitude soon changed.
Something hit me at that point. I said, you know what? I'm going to call the Giants. So I called the Giants' main number, and I asked for Ernie Accorsi, and I left him a voicemail. I gave it to Fossil and Pat Hanlon, and I said, it's up to you if you want to play this for the players. They did.
The gist of it was, I went out to see you guys play the Denver Broncos. The tragedies that happened took a lot of people's lives, and I would have been one of those. But my family, my kids, have a father because I'm a Giants fan.
There were maybe dry eyes because I was standing in the back.
This made me cry.
That message from Tony was a big, serious wow moment. You are playing a game that you think really, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't correlate with anything that's going on. And then when you heard Tony's message, it made you realize that we, in some ways, had some importance to some people.
We were playing for our city, representing all of those who had lost and all those who were still giving and trying to rebuild the psyche of New York.
You wanted to win to bring them some happiness, something to take their mind off for a second of the gravity of the situation.
When play resumed, Paul Tagliabue made sure every game had a patriotic feel.
It was to show that as a nation we were unified and resilient and determined and not cowed.
The NFL did it in the right way. It helped to create a sense of unity in America, among Americans.
I think it kind of recalibrated everybody's sense of what was important. All of a sudden, listening to the Star Spangled Banner took on a lot more meaning than it had for a lot of people prior to that.
That was amazing. That was a clip of called "Playing for New York City." This is courtesy of NFL Films. This is from 3 years ago, from commemorating the 15-year anniversary of 9/11, in which that guys like Ernie Accorsi, Michael Strahan, the Andruzzi brothers were interviewed. Joe Buck, Paul Tagliabue, they were all interviewed as part of discussing what it meant for the NFL to return to play, especially in the aftermath of 9/11, after taking it on the week off to grieve and allow people to have the opportunity to grieve over the events, the tragic events of 9/11 on that day. This clip in particular was incredibly important. And this was one of the things I was looking forward to when I was preparing for the show today, was because, one, we really seem to lose a sense of pride in our nation, and it seemed to have been lost somehow, some way. And I mentioned this in the last hour that for whatever reason, it seemed like tragedy really seems to bring the best out of people in terms of, you know, coming together, being united as one. And this was something that I really feel that at that time, and what I personally noticed in New York in particular, was, you know, especially in the MTA system with the buses and the subways, you know, there was more American flags around. You know, there was a sense of pride in the USA, you know. And as you heard, like the USA chants at different NFL stadiums and so forth, all of that was very symbolic. And it took on, as you heard Joe Buck say towards the end, you know, like, you know, listening to the Star Spangled Banner took on a whole different meaning altogether in sporting events, especially in the NFL. And it's truly something that when I think about, you know, the immediate days after 9/11, even as a young boy growing up in New York, it really genuinely amazed me how we came together as people, you know, taking that as a very important life lesson. It's something that I've learned, I've carried with me for the rest of my life, even up until this day, that it really is important that we show tenderness and kindness towards each other, not just only when things happen, but rather as human beings, as being compassionate human beings. And I think at times, unfortunately, it is a shame that we really have seemed to have lost a lot of that, especially these days, unfortunately. But I think it'd be really great and really wonderful if we somehow can find the strength to overlook our differences, to overlook what makes us unique, whether if it's, you know, differences in faith, religion, politics, sports interest, put that all aside and just help our fellow man. And it really, really felt like in the days after 9/11 that somehow we were able to do just that. Coming up next on the Shukri Wright Show, 9/11 edition, commemorating the 18-year anniversary of 9/11, I'm going to talk about, in great detail, about sports before and after 9/11. That's coming up next, plus your phone calls at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. This is the Shukri Wright Show, special edition commemorating the 9/11 anniversary. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
Why is Connor having trouble focusing in school?
Having trouble finding Connor's middle school? Would you like directions?
No, why is Connor having trouble focusing in school?
Finding lowest airfare to Istanbul.
No, I'm tired of fighting with him over homework.
Home, walk, restaurant. Need a review?
No, I need help. He's very smart, but his mind wanders. He's disorganized.
I think I understand.
Oh, good.
Finding best potatoes for French fries.
No!
Russet, fingerling, Yukon gold.
Why don't you understand me?
Sorry, I was trying to show how Connor feels every day. Frustrating, isn't it? Redirecting to understood.org.
For the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues, this is what life can feel like. Explore understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues, designed to help your child thrive in school and in life. Understood.org, because understanding is everything.
Brought to you by understood.org and the Ad Council.
has been so kind, but now they brought you away from me. I hope they didn't get your mind. Your heart is too strong anyway. We need to fetch back the time they have stolen from us.
Here comes the 3-0. Sammy hits a high fly ball, deep right center. Back goes Merced to the wall and right, looking up, leaping. That ball is gone for a home run. Sammy Sosa has hit one into the basket just to the right of the 368 sign. He's carrying an American flag around the bases, and the Cubs lead 1-0. That's number 59 for Sammy Sosa.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. That was a radio call of Pat Hughes of the Chicago Cubs radio network calling Sammy Sosa's home run with the American flag and the Cubs' first home game since September the 11th. That was from September 27th, 2001, in which that moment took place. If you may remember, he actually ran out to the outfield with the American flag in hand, you know, as a symbol of national pride. And so forth, and which will directly correlates into what I'm going to talk about coming up now, is when we talk about sports before and post 9/11. You know, it's interesting that there is such a difference. I feel like the big difference is that, number one, I feel that, interestingly enough, sports prior to 9/11, it was mostly about, okay, what happened, who scored the winning bucket, who hit the game-winning home run, who shot the game-winning goal, you know. And like, it was mostly about the sheer entertainment on the field or on the ice or on a diamond or whatever sport it may be. But post 9/11, the one thing that's really stood out is when you look at the rise in patriotism. Not that it wasn't there before, but I feel like it took on a whole different meaning after 9/11. And the thing that I find what's most fascinating is that, and I mentioned it in the last segment, that for whatever reason, it really seemed at that time, and it's even more clear now, that the American flag took on a whole different meaning at that time because of 9/11. And sports became a rallying cry. Whereas I don't think I really felt sports being a rallying cry prior to 9/11, but rather just as, oh, there's a game on, it's entertainment, it's my team against your team, rawr, let's clash heads or whatever. But post 9/11, it really became a rallying cry as a beacon of hope, a source of hope. And I want to give one example that really stands out to me. This is post 9/11 I'm talking about as an example. In terms of sports being a source of hope, a beacon of hope. And I cannot think of a greater example of this than in September of 2006. Now one would think, well, what are you talking about, September 2006? Remember Hurricane Katrina? When it struck New Orleans in August of 2005, and how that really impacted the city and the Superdome, the home of the New Orleans Saints, and how the Saints, that 2005 season, they had to play elsewhere. They couldn't play in the Superdome. So the following season, the 2006 season, the first game back in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, and this is one of the great all-time NFL games, especially on Monday Night Football between the Falcons and the Saints, in which that game, it was more than just a football game. It was a source of hope, of inspiration. It was a source of joy, uniting a region and a city that had gone through so much the year prior. And now to have a sports team back home where it belonged, it became a unifying call for the city of New Orleans. That's one example of the difference between sports pre-9/11 and post-9/11. We oftentimes, prior to 9/11, viewed sports as a way of showing team dominance. You know, there were examples of, you know, tragic events that took place in this country, you know, and, you know, like the local regions and support from across the country came in. But that was due to natural causes. And another example that comes to mind, although I wasn't alive when this happened, was 1989. The 1989 Bay Area earthquake that stopped the World Series in the Bay Area. How devastating that was. You know? But because that this wasn't due to natural causes or anything like that, this was an attack on American soil in which from a foreign threat, in which that it did nothing but reignite pride at sporting events that may or may not have been there before. I mean, think about this for a moment. Honestly, the one thing that stood out to me, especially post 9/11, was the rise of seeing the American flags being held by the NFL fan in the stands. You know, it meant much more, you know, just being able to, you know, stand and listen to the national anthem. You know, it meant much more to the sports fan being able to, you know, hearing the chants of USA, 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 where, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't recall hearing that or seeing that before, or even watching games on TV. I don't remember that. But post 9/11, absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the great moments that took place in the United States post 9/11, and this one I remember quite well, it was a moment in which I can remember President Bush coming to New York. Coming to New York, in which he threw out the first pitch, Game 3 of the World Series, of the 2001 World Series. And that moment meant so much more than just a regular first pitch. It really did, in every sense. Like, this was one of the one of the seminal moments in helping this country come together. And the thing that stood out to me was, prior to that, and I didn't know this actually, and it wasn't until that Joe Buck mentioned this on the broadcast on Fox, that the United States never had a sitting president throw out a first pitch of the World Series. It never happened prior to 9/11. And this time, it was the time for it to happen. In fact, the next clip I'm going to play for you, this is courtesy of Major League Baseball. President Bush throwing out the first pitch of the 2001 World Series Game 3 at Yankee Stadium. This is courtesy of Major League Baseball. Enjoy.
For tonight's ceremonial first pitch. And please welcome the President of the United States.
As you can hear people chanting USA in the stands, and this is some 55,000 people at Yankee Stadium that night, where there was so much tension and worry in New York as to what was going to happen, what was going to happen next. But to, you know, have moments like that, you know, where, as it turned out to be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity where the President of the United States came to a World Series game and threw out the first pitch in a city that was still reeling right in the immediate aftermath of 9/11, this was powerful. This was powerful. This was one of the moments in which that I think even nearly 18 years later was a moment that this country needed and that sports fans needed. And it was one of the key turning points, in my humble opinion, in which that it helped people heal and come together to watch sports, you know, forget about everything that was going on for 3 hours, and to come together as people, as human beings, you know, just to root, cheer, show emotion, to get back to having a sense of normalcy, which hadn't been shown during the days of 9/11. And coming up next, I'm actually going to talk about exactly that. The return to normalcy after 9/11 in sports, especially like as people. You can call in to the show as always at 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. This is the Strictly Right Show, filling in today for both the voicemobile and the time travel. I'm here with you until 7 o'clock this evening. This is Strictly Right. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Touch Free Farm Radio.
Dr. Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Free Form Radio. Special edition of the Shukri Wright Show today. We're here live until 7 o'clock this evening on this 18-year anniversary of 9/11. I'm taking your phone calls as well at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. It has been quite an eventful first hour and 48 minutes of the show so far, and you know we still got a bit of a ways to go in terms of we got some more stuff that I want to get to and that I will get to before 7 o'clock hits. Now, one thing that 9/11 really created was a sense of fear, the fear of getting up. Go out and live our normal lives. And one of the things that occurred to me, especially in the days after 9/11, there was no sports whatsoever. Like, as I mentioned earlier, MLB had halted all games. The NFL, didn't play that weekend. The NBA and the NHL really hadn't gotten into gear in terms of the regular season just yet, so there really wasn't a ton sports as we had been accustomed to and so forth. And at this point, nothing really felt normal or right and whatnot. And the thing that I could remember in the days after 9/11 was, the first instance of the NFL deciding they were going to halt games, the MLB deciding that they weren't going to play. It was actually when they decided, the NFL and the MLB respectively, decided that they were going to return to action. But in terms of a real life, real world perspective, I really felt like that one of the things that former President Bush said at the time that resonated with me, that I could recall, was that, that we need to show the world, that we need to show the people who did this, that we're not afraid to live our lives, to get back to living our lives as normal. And although we did do that, but it was difficult early on. Especially we talk about, for example, in New York, the New York Stock Exchange, it didn't reopen immediately after 9/11. It was actually closed for quite some time, and other financial dealings, came to a halt on some levels. And normalcy, depending on how much you want to define it or look at it as, it just wasn't there. It just wasn't there. I guess the I wouldn't say the ambition, but rather considering what had just happened at that time. What else were people going to do? Schools did close in a lot of cases, and I'm pretty sure, and I know in New York, schools did in fact close, as well as, some jobs, offices in New York, didn't fully operate, especially considering what had happened, so a sense of normalcy was gone after 9/11 in New York in particular. I'm taking your phone calls, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. So, in New York, for example, and I want to give the New York perspective because I was fortunate of having lived through 9/11 in New York, as well as having lived through it in the aftermath, in the days and the following weeks, months that came after. One of the things that I can remember is, although there was, I guess you could say, although there was a need to, you know, go about living our regular lives, it was very hard. And I know for a lot of people it was very difficult, especially, you know, especially for those that lived in certain areas, and even in New York, even the New York metropolitan area that, you know, had grown quite accustomed to seeing the Twin Towers, and now, not only that it wasn't there any longer, but as well as you've seen smoke still rising from ground zero, and that was very difficult to deal with and process. And one of the things that I could tell you is that no matter what had happened at that time, the one thing that I've learned about New York, and especially as a native New Yorker myself, is that the people is what makes the city so special. The resolve, the strength to get back up after you've fallen. To see that in full display in New York in the aftermath of 9/11, it was quite telling. It was quite telling in more ways than one, especially when it came to people who just went to ground zero just to volunteer their time and their energy just to help. To help people who were still buried under the rubble, who had died and their bodies were recovered and so forth. All of that mattered, and it still mattered. And one of the things that I remember from the especially in the aftermath of 9/11 was seeing the news in particular, like the people who went down, and you know, the stories that began to be unearthed in regards to the recovery efforts and so forth. And you know, it wasn't easy. You know, you have people working 4, 5, 6 days straight just trying to help their fellow man. And you want to talk about commitment and perseverance through some incredibly difficult moments? I will never really truly be able to understand what that must have been like. So when we talk about return to normalcy, that didn't happen right away. Even when sports came back into play, it didn't happen right away. It took some time. But when everything and everyone slowly but surely began to, you know, to pick up the pieces and to push themselves to, you know, move forward, that was when you really began to see people begin to return to normalcy after 9/11, whether it was New York, Washington, or Western PA. But as a country, as a whole, as a society, that in itself was truly remarkable to watch as it unfolded. Coming up next, during the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about the importance of sports in the aftermath of 9/11. Because we talked about it earlier in the 4 o'clock hour, that sports played a very, very important role. But now, during this upcoming segment, I'm going to talk about how sports became even more important now more than ever. In the consciousness of America. In the aftermath of 9/11. That and much more. Plus your phone calls coming up just shortly. You can call in the show. I'll be here until 7 o'clock this afternoon at 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. This is the Shukri Wright Show, 9/11 edition, commemorating the 18-year anniversary. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.